So we do not interpret this.
Temporary, could you literally, could be 50 years in your view?
Yes, that's the typical horizon that the street grid evolves on. Once you plat a street, it's there. And so these things happen over generations, not over the period of a few years.
And I hear you, but I'm just asking, do you have something that emanates out of the code that gives you some comfort that that is a reasonable interpretation of the word temporary?
The comfort I have, I guess, in that interpretation is that that's how it's been interpreted for probably 15 years.
You know, that's my favorite answer, right? That's the way we've always done it.
I know that is.
Do you have a basis? I'm asking sincerely. Is there something that guides you to that, or is that an aspirational interpretation?
We're guided by the fact that it talks about where the street is temporarily terminating, and the code earlier in that chapter of the zoning code asks us to consider whether we are going to require a through street for large blocks. And in this case, the hearings officer decided that he was going to require a through street. That code section sets up a dichotomy of either allowing a dead end or requiring a through street. He required a through street and then proceeded to call it a dead end, which is where we disagree.
But the through street will only happen if the property owners who retain current ownership, who have expressed an interest in not selling the property, ever happen to change their mind. So
that's where I go back to the purpose of the land use code is to take the long-term view, and that's the basis of my interpretation.
And I'm not criticizing that, but I hope you appreciate what we're working with here may require other.
And that's one of the reasons I said in my introduction that the policy interpretation in a general sense may be different than whether it's a practical. We're not disagreeing that as a practical matter, a turnaround may be a good thing here.
That's very helpful because I wasn't quite sure what you were getting at when you opened, but now I do.
I'm talking about the long-term view of the larger interpretive issue and how you want us to proceed in the future and whether you want us to always require a turnaround at the end of a street, even though we think we might be continuing it.
And just again, just to kind of restate, this is a good conversation. It's very helpful to me. It helps me understand better what the issue is. But just from my, and obviously I'm a little biased, but I don't think unfairly so. I mean, Jim is accurately describing the reaction of the trained firefighter who is from that area, who has an officer who's from that area, who has other people from that area. The reality, as Jim is well aware, is that oftentimes on July 4th, all those folks are on vacation, and then you have somebody from Southwest Portland and somebody from Northwest Portland who is as familiar with that neighborhood as if we plopped them down into the middle of Brooklyn. And as in New York, and have absolutely no practical idea of which streets are connected to another. So from my perspective, without telling on myself too much, I have found myself on dead-end streets that I should not have been on in a fire apparatus and that caused backing up and delay in response time, and not necessarily the fires, EMS calls, car accidents, those kinds of things. And so when I'm reading this stuff, it's in that perspective. It isn't in criticism or necessarily even disagreement with your goals, but as a practical matter, if you can have a problem, it will happen. You know, it's you can just count on that. So thank you.
So a couple of quick questions. An individual that testified said that if there was a power outage that the sprinklers would not work, and I'm curious, just for my knowledge sake, is that true?
If the sprinkler systems needed a pump to supply their pressure, that could be true. The Water Bureau provides adequate pressure in this area of the network that the systems would not need a pump, and so that would not be true. Also, I think that there was a concern about dirty water in the sprinkler pipes. We are encouraging, for reliability purposes, sprinkler systems to be installed as part of the domestic plumbing system. So basically, if you can flush your toilet, the sprinkler system is going to be working, and that the issue of dirty water really doesn't exist. It wouldn't be a standalone sprinkler system.
And then before us is one of our options to approve the development minus houses, because that's been some of the testimony as to in order to get a larger turnaround. So it's a question about divisibility of what's in front of us. Could that be a condition of approval that we?
Various people who testified have suggested that creating a larger turnaround might mean that the developer should think about giving up a unit or two or more. Since that goes to the density issue, I don't think it's appropriate for the council to impose that kind of condition. Okay. I think your choices are really to uphold the hearings officer's decision as is, which would flat out deny the proposal, or to overturn the hearings officer's decision and either approve it as originally proposed and originally configured, or with the modified knuckle turnaround that was shown to you today.
Or could, again, I'm just thinking out loud here, could we require that at the end of the street that be a larger turnaround, and then he could either choose to try to squeeze houses in there or just wait to develop those particularly impacted lots until the knuckle was no longer required?
The difficulty with that is you don't have a site plan that reflects that.
One of the difficulties is because this underwent design review in order to get the bonus density available in the A overlay zone, we don't have the flexibility to change the house shape at this point. And we're to the point where if we make the turnaround bigger, we push the houses into the setbacks to the point where they wouldn't be meeting the zoning code.
If I could throw a cautionary note at this point, the appealant still has an opportunity to respond to some of what's said. I'm a little uncomfortable with the conversation at this point until we allow the appealant
to
respond, and then let this conversation be more appropriate.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. The appellate has 5 minutes.
Again, for the record, Ken Sandblast. I appreciate that. I'll make a general comment. As you can see, we're caught, and I've tried to differentiate between this policy issue and the specifics of this case. We had an original design that it was, for all everything we understood, met the design standards of both the Fire Bureau with the code appeal, as well as PDOT standards. Obviously, the hearings officer went to a different level. And then we've offered an alternative that provides, with the fire sprinklers, a solution that gets at the function issue. The policy level issue, we'll just make a couple of general responses to that. It's been generally accepted planning standards, land use planning standards, for some time now that cul-de-sacs are kind of looked on disfavorably in a permanent way. In this case, I can appreciate the idea that maybe there might be something to put there, thus the knuckle design. I want to offer a third, I guess, alternative without changing what you already see before you. What you see before you with the knuckle design is a 70-foot radius, but it includes swales for dealing with the stormwater, like I referenced in my original testimony today. We can get upwards of over 90 feet if dry wells are provided instead of swales for just the turnaround portion of the site, and therefore address all the concerns I've heard today with regards to function, frankly, of the design of this thing. We would ask for two things if that's the case. One is that there not be a requirement for fire sprinklers anymore, because we've now provided something that satisfies the Fire Bureau standards at 90 feet. And the other is a specific finding by the council that the dry wells are acceptable here, given that there's a lot of uncertainty in the hierarchy of how this is all handled at the BES level, so with a direct finding that the dry well would be acceptable, because that's all with what you see. The existing right-of-way for this design we've given you would not change. I would just emphasize on that particular point, by pushing those buildings back, they're still well in excess of the underlying standards, and so we're attempting to offer yet a third alternative, I guess, without changing what you see before you. And so that's what I would have for you. There was other issues raised, but I appreciate the commission's diligence, if you will, in keeping it on point and the good questions that you've asked about this. So we would ask that you reverse the hearings officer's decision, approve this application, adopt the 70-foot turnaround or the 90-foot turnaround with the two specific directions that I just described. If you have any questions, I hope I can answer them.
Would you be willing to provide a swale or instead of a dry well, but a swale that is of a different configuration on and dedicate an easement on one of the properties that you're going to be dividing so that it isn't necessarily in the right-of-way, but it's just off the right-of-way, providing the same benefits?
Well, I guess what I would say is, without getting into the design details of it, two things. One, we would look to achieve as much swale to meet the top of the hierarchy as is possible and still meet the 90-foot radius on the curb line. So you might see some sort of combination of a different swale configuration with a small dry well. That happens to be the low part of the property, and that's where the water comes to. The reason that you see what you see before you is simply because to this point in time, it's been extremely difficult to move down that hierarchy. And so the other part I would offer is it's my understanding that swales associated with public roads don't go in easements. You can't do that. They need to be in the right of way. If it was something that you found possible and would work design-wise, we would consider it.
Well, what I won't do today is agree to design changes that are done in the context of a hearing. I am prepared to make a motion that I don't think is going to meet any of your goals. I am willing, however, with the concurrence of my colleagues, to see if there's any interest on your part and the neighborhood's part for us to hold off on taking any action on today on this appeal and give you some time to sit down with the neighborhood and see if you can't jointly come up with a design that both of you, both sides, agree is appropriate for the neighborhood. If you're interested in that, I'm willing to talk further with my colleagues here about that. If you're not, I'm prepared to move.
And we would be prepared because I oversee transportation and BES, so the right-of-way and the swale issue, to be creative in helping you provide the turnaround, the best turnaround radius that the neighborhood wants, and also stick with our stormwater.
Well, I want to be clear about one thing, because that's not exactly what I'm saying. We have specific criteria here that limit what our decision can be. I don't at all expect you to limit your discussions to that with the neighbors. So what I'm describing is a little more broad. If you agree to those conditions, then what maybe Commissioner Adams is suggesting, that you sit down and discuss a truly comprehensive redesign of what you're considering as a package. And if there's some consensus, that will weigh heavily in how I ultimately vote. But I honestly don't think it's appropriate for us at this point to say what we will or will not agree to and do anything other than uphold the hearings officer's recommendation or not. So
I want to be clear, Commissioner Leonard, I don't think I'm straying into anything that would cause you to be concerned. I'm just saying that we would be able to provide some flexibility to facilitate that conversation were to occur between you and the neighborhood. Commissioner Salzman, do you have any questions for him?
I mean, I like what you had just offered, but I understand there may be issues here. I do think a 90-foot turnaround would be what we need, but if you're still willing to pursue this further with the neighbors, that's good too.
I would just make a general comment and then a request. The general comment is I think we've shown in this case that we're willing to communicate with the neighborhood, and I think from both my original testimony and some of the testimony you heard today that it was a positive result. Do I believe that going back to the neighborhood will result in something dramatically different than you see here for a variety of reasons? Maybe not, but I'm not against meeting with them again. the request I would have is I could take 3 minutes to actually talk to my client about that, and then okay. maybe we would get back to you. So if we could just have maybe a break for 3 minutes, that would be great.
And I guess I need to hear from somebody from the neighborhood that they're interested in this idea as well.
Thank you.
And on the, I think on the neighborhood side, again, the discussion would be limited to the issue of the turnaround. And
No.
Yes, it would have to be limited to
here,
providing.
Here, but what I'm suggesting is, and you know, I hope I'm not being too nitpicky, but I don't want the discussion after it leaves here to be characterized as follows. Our information is, and this is the builder talking, that the only thing we have to discuss with you is the size of the turnaround. That's not what I'm saying. What I'd like to see is, in this discussion, a broad, comprehensive discussion of all of the issues involved in the development that would allow us then to consider that at some future date. Commissioner Adams is completely right. Here, people can only object or discuss the issues of the turnaround. I can only make a motion and vote legally based on those reasons. I can't and I won't make a decision based on density or design or any of those issues, but I can certainly suggest to you that I'm willing to hold off on my vote if you would agree to a comprehensive discussion with the neighbors about the development in its entirety.
Catherine, I need some clarification. I need some clarification in response to Commissioner Leonard.
I guess the question I have for staff is, because this is in the A overlay, it has gone through a design review, and that is a constraint at this point. So my question was, if the applicant and the neighbors were to talk and were to arrive at a somewhat different design, what the implications would be for the design review they've been through?
Well, I mean, those obviously the discussion I'm talking about would involve our staff working with it, and I trust them. And if there's something that needs to be done in the process to adjust the design overlay, you can involve my office. We're happy to help with that and whatever needs to be done. But I don't want it to be, I mean, for this to work, in my view, we can't limit what they can talk about. I mean, it has to be that whatever both sides think are appropriate to come up with something, each side can come here and say, yes, we're okay with the development. That's what I'm interested in.
So it's now 3:22. We're going to take a 5-minute recess, and we'll reconvene at 3:27.